You're listening to a WebYeshiva.org podcast. Visit www.webyeshiva.org to take part in our fully interactive online yeshiva. Visit blog.webyeshiva.org for more free downloadable Torah content.
Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein-Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Tehillim podcast. This week I'd like to take a look at Mizmor Kuf Zayin. Mizmor Kuf Zayin, as the first pasuk of the Mizmor quickly informs us, is a Mizmor about giving thanks. Hodu laHashem ki tov ki leolam chasto. Right, a familiar pasuk which we know from other Mizmorim. Pesukim Bet and Gimel then give a general description of those who should be giving thanks to Hashem, right, of those whom Hashem has saved. Yomru Geulei Hashem Asher Ga'alam Yetzar, right, those who Hashem has redeemed from the hands of those who oppress them, and those whom Hashem has gathered from the four corners, right, from all directions, right. General description of those who have been redeemed, those who have been saved by Hashem. Those are the people who should give thanks. The Mizmor then proceeds to list four different categories of people who are told to thank Hashem for delivering them from trouble. Right? The structure of the Mizmor is such that after each of these categories, there is a refrain which returns and is a reminder to thank Hashem. The first category is of those people who lost their way in the desert. Right, pasuk dalid, ta'uva midbar bishimon darech, ish moshav lo matzau. Right, people who lost their way in the desert, and they were unable to find civilization. Right, they were completely lost, and as we all know, if you're really, really lost in the desert and can't find your way out, you're in big trouble. Re'evim gam tzme'im nafsham. So they were hungry and they were thirsty, right? Really in a terrible situation, right? And the pasuk vav is already the beginning of the refrain. They cried out to Hashem in their distress. Right? Hashem directs them to find their way back to civilization, right, and saves them from their distress. And therefore, pasuk chet, yodu l'Hashem chasto v'nifleotav livnei adam. Right? Therefore, you must thank Hashem, if you have been in this situation, for the kindness that he has shown. Right, so the refrain, just to review again for one moment, is after listing whatever the particular trouble was that the person was in, that the person or the people cry out to Hashem from their distress. Hashem helps them, right, in a way that is appropriate for whatever the particular distress was. And then, Yodu LaHashem Chastel v'niflotav livnei adam. Right, that's the refrain that we will see in each case with slight variation. And then, right after the call to thank Hashem, with the imperative Yodu LaHashem Chastov Niflotav Livnei Adam, right, the next pasuk, right, and this repeats itself in each of the categories, as we'll see, a repeat explanation as to why we are thanking Hashem. Pasuk Tet, Ki hispia nefesh shokeka, v'nefesh eva miletov. Right, because he sated and filled with good things a thirsty and starving soul. Right, end of section one. The Mizmor proceeds now along the same structure. Right, category two. Right, who's the second category of people who need to thank Hashem? Released prisoners. Right, pasuk yud. Yoshve choshech v'tzalmavet asirei ani uvarzel, ki himru imreel v'atzat alyon na'atzu, v'yachna ba'amali bam, kashlu ve'enozer. Right? People who have been imprisoned, right, and therefore are in difficult situation. And now we return to our refrain, pasuk yud gimel, right? They call out to Hashem, v'yizaku al Hashem batzar lahem, mi mitzukehem yoshiem. Right? Pasuk yud dalet, right? Hashem responds, yotzi'em michoshech v'tzalmavet u'mosrotehem yinatek. Right? He takes them out of darkness, right? He breaks that which binds them. Pasuk Tedvav, therefore they must give thanks. Yodu Lahashem Chastov Niflotav Livne Adam. Pasuk Tetzain, Kishibar, right, the explanation of why, again, we are thanking Hashem. Kishibar Daltot Nechoshech Uvirichei Varzel Gidea, because he broke open the doors and the chains that were holding them. Right, that was category two. Category three, right, those who suffer from illness, right? Pasuk Yud Zayin, Evili miderech pisha mi'avonotahem yit'anu, kol ochel titaev nafsham, vayagiu ad sha'arei mavet. The people here are described as being ill because of their transgressions, but nonetheless, people who have become seriously sick. Pasuk Yutet, they call out to Hashem, v'izaku al Hashem batzar lahem, mimetzukotehem yoshiem. Right, the beginning of the refrain. Once again, pasuk kaf, Hashem responds, yishlach dvaro v'yir pa'em, v'yimaleit mishchitotam. Right, Hashem heals them from their illness. Pasuk kaf aleph, the giving of thanks, yodu l'Hashem chasto v'niflotav livnei adam. And here, it doesn't really give an explanation, but the continuation of what the response should be, the way of giving thanks. Pasuk kaf bet, v'yizbechu zivchei todah, v'yisapu ma'asav berina. Right? That they should bring korbanot todah, and they should tell of that which Hashem has done. There are commentaries sources that explain that here we see the idea of pirsum hanes, right? That if something good happens to you, then you have to tell people about it. It's a requirement to go and spread the good word of what happened to you. Category number four, the last category, those people who travel by sea, right? Because traveling by sea in boats in the open ocean was a very dangerous endeavor. Yordei hayam ba'oniyot osei melacha b'mayim rabim, hema ra'u ma'asei Hashem v'niflotav v'metzula. Vayomer, vayamed ruach zara, v'tromem galav, ya'alu shamayim yerdu tehomot nafsham b'ra'at titmogag, yachogu v'yanu kashikor v'chol chachmatam titbala. Right? In other words, they're traveling in the water. There's a great storm, vayamed ruach se'ara, right? And they are in danger. Pasuk kafchet, the beginning of our refrain, vayitzaku el Hashem betzalahem umimitzukotehem yotziem. We're already familiar with this. Pasuk kaftet, Hashem responds, yakem se'ara lidmama vayecheshu galehem. Right? Hashem quiets the waters. Pasuk lamed v'yismichu ki yishtoku v'yanchem emechoz cheftam. Pasuk lamed aleph, the giving of thanks, yodu l'Hashem chasto v'niflotav livnei adam, v'yiromemuhu b'kahal am uv'moshav zkenim yahaleluhu. Right? So we see here again in Pasuk lamed bet, not so much an explanation like we saw in the first two examples, but like we saw in the third category, an additional explanation of what is required of someone giving thanks, right? Again, that they should praise Hashem birabim, right? In public, right? Make well known the miracle that Hashem has performed. Those are the four categories listed by this mizmor of the four types of people, the four categories of people who must give thanks for Hashem, right? When they are saved from a difficult situation. In the Gemara in Brachot, Rabbi Yehuda learns from this mizmor that when a person is obligated to say Birkat HaGomel, right, the blessing which one says that recognizes that Hashem has bestowed good upon him or her, and Rabbi Yehuda lists the four categories that we have just seen. Right, so this source, this mizmor, is the source for the halachot of when we are supposed to say Birkat HaGomel. And indeed, right, having just quickly looked through this first part of the Mizmor, it really is one long lesson in the necessity to say Birkat HaGomel, the necessity to recognize and appreciate and give appropriate thanks for good things that happen. This, however, is not the entire Mizmor, right? There is one more section, right, which follows these four categories that we have just looked at. And this last section has a different structure. And this begins with Pasuk Lamed Gimel. From that Pasuk, from Pasuk Lamed Gimel, there is a list of things which Hashem does, right? A description of God, as it were. But it is written in a different style than the list we saw earlier. Here, too, it's a list of kindnesses that Hashem does. But as we will see, it's not listed in the same way that we saw before. So from Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Yasem Neharot Lemidbar Umotzei Mayim Letzimaon. Right, Hashem, He is the one who turns rivers into deserts and sources of water into dry areas. Eretz Pri Limlecha Mira'at Yoshveba. Right, He can turn a fertile land into a salty land, right, a non-fertile land, because of the transgressions, because of the evil of the people living there. Yaseh midbar la'agam mayim, ve'eretz siyah lemotzei mayim. He can turn desert into lush land, wet land. Again, dry land into sources of water. In other words, he can do the opposite of what we saw in the first psukim. Vayoshev sham re'evim. He will settle there hungry people. V'yichoninu ir moshav. And there they will build a settlement. There they will build a place to live. Vayizru sadot v'yitu charamim v'yasu pri tivua. Right? They will plant vineyards and grain. Right, and when they plant, Hashem will bless what they have done, and they will prosper, and their animals will not dwindle. They will have lots of cattle. Okay, this pasuk is a matter of debate how to understand it exactly. Either say some that. On the other hand, Hashem can, although it first says that Hashem makes them prosper and that their numbers do not dwindle and the number of their possessions does not dwindle. He can do the opposite as well. He can take prosperous people and make their numbers dwindle. That's one possibility. Some others, including Rashi, understand this pasuk as a continuation of the idea. He makes them prosper. Although, right, they had initially not prospered. Although initially their numbers had dwindled. Shofech buz al nedivim vayatzeim b'to lo darech. Right, he can take, you know, powerful people, and bring them down. Vayisagev evyon me'oni vayasem ketzon mishpechot. Right, and the opposite. Right, he can take poor, downtrodden individuals, and raise them up. Many commentators sense that there's a difference between this section of these Mizmor and the one which came before it, but they differ in their understanding of what exactly the difference is. But everyone seems to sense, or a lot of commentators seem to sense, that this is different. This is not, what is being told to us here is not exactly the same as what we saw in the four categories at the beginning of the Mizmor, but they differ. They don't understand that difference in the same way. The Malbim, for example, points out that the first part of the Mizmor deals with individuals who experience a miracle, right? A person who is sick, an individual who got lost in the desert, etc. While this part talks about nations, right? Groups of people, right? Large groups as a whole. Both the Ibn Ezra and the Radak point out that these verses are describing the quality of God, that He is one who can do davar v'hipucho, right? God, on the one hand, can make a desert into an oasis, but He can also dry up a source of water, right? He can do one thing, and He can also turn it around and do the opposite, right? This emphasizes that God's greatness should be seen in all things, in all of these types of things, right? In God's control of the world in all ways, not just in His performing miracles for our benefit. This is similar, right, for those who are familiar with it, to Shirat Chana in the second chapter of Shmuel Aleph. Right, after the birth of Shmuel, Chana rejoices, right, in that she finally has been given a child, right? But if you read carefully, the tefillah that she says in Perek Bet, She rejoices in God not because he did a nice thing for her, or because, generally speaking, God always does nice things for nice people. That's not it at all. Rather, she rejoices because Hashem is in control, right? He can make the rich poor, and he can make the poor rich. He can make the weak strong, and he can make the strong weak, right? That he is in control, that all things in the world are in God's control. In his commentary on our Mizmor, the Radak adds, right, to this perception of what's going on in these psukim in the Mizmor, that we as mortals do not always understand why God does what he does, right? You know, we're always happy when God helps, you know, makes poor people rich, but we don't necessarily understand why rich people have to be made poor. And so he just adds, he points out that perhaps the message is that we don't always understand why God does what he does. You know, why he does the things that we perceive as negative, as bad things, but that God has a plan, right? That we have to recognize that God has a plan, and that's what the message is here, right? That we have to recognize, regardless of which direction the wind blows, that all of this is in the control of God. Not only the things, not only the good miracles, the big things that are described in the first part of the Mizmor. So these views suggest that the Mizmor is saying that we must thank Hashem when a miracle happens to us, right? But we also must recognize God's hand in everything, right? Good as well as bad. I saw another interesting interpretation of the difference between the two sections of the Mizmor in an article written by someone named Arel Segal, who is an Israeli journalist. And he suggested the difference between the two parts of the Mizmor is in the different types of miracles that each part describes. The first part of the Mizmor, right, the four categories that were neatly laid out of people who must thank God, these describe nisim gluyim, clear and obvious miracles, right? A person who was in clear and obvious danger, immediate danger, and was saved, right? Those are the first four categories for which the Mizmor, the Mishorer, says, sing out thanks to Hashem. The second part of the Mizmor, he says, describes miracles that are perhaps even greater, right? Perhaps even greater than these nisim gluyim, these obvious miracles, but these miracles are nistarim, right? They are harder to detect because they are less obviously miraculous, right? He points out that each of the things described in the second section, right, is parallel in some way to one of the categories in the first section, one of the four categories, but that there's a difference, right, in each case, right? Something which makes it a nes nistar, something which makes it less obvious. So, for example, right, he points out that the first section describes a person who is lost in the desert, dying of hunger and thirst, who is led to civilization by Hashem, and thereby is saved, right? Anes galui. This is parallel in some way, he says, to the example in the second section of the group who is brought to a newly fertile land, right, in Pasuk Lamed Vav, right? And there they, the people, build up a place to live, right? A moshav, a near moshav. He shows right, another parallel, right, how Hashem's quieting the stormy waters, right, for the people or the person who is in a dangerous situation while traveling by boat in the first section, right, this is an obvious, overt miracle, that this is similar, right, in some ways to the drying up of a wet area to punish the wicked that is described in the second section of the Mizmor, right, where it says that Hashem is able to dry up wet and fertile land, right, to punish the people who are there, right? And by doing that, right, by punishing the wicked people, right, Hashem thereby saves those people who are suffering by the hands of the wicked people. Now this, he says, is a more hidden miracle, right? It's not like the miraculous quieting of waters, right? Think of the book of Yonah, the miraculous quieting of waters when people are about to drown in the sea, right? It's not quite the same. It's that, you know, say the gradual drying up of a land of a once prosperous but wicked group of people, right? And they are therefore punished and pushed aside, and thereby people are saved, that's acquired a miracle, right? That's not a miracle that slaps you in the face and says, well, look at this great miracle that's happened, although it is nevertheless a miracle. And he shows, right, point by point, how there are parallels of this sort, parallels with the difference in each of the second section of the Mizmor. One last example, the release of the ani, of the poor person, the oppressed person who is being held by those who oppress him, right, in the first section of the Mizmor, that's an overt miracle, right? But the lifting up of the standard of living of the ani from poverty, right, which is described in the second section, is a somewhat less startling miracle, right? It's also miraculous. It's also a wonderful thing, but it is not as obvious, right, and so forth. The Mizmor, then, according to this understanding, is suggesting that one must recognize and thank Hashem for the big miracles, right? That one is required to call out thanks for Hashem for those nisim gluyim, as described in the four categories at the beginning of the Mizmor, those nisim gluyim that are done on our behalf. But the second half of the Mizmor tells us we would be remiss if we were to ignore the smaller miracles, right? And this is what the last pasuk of the Mizmor is suggesting. Pasuk mem gimel, mi chacham v'yishmor ele v'yitbonenu chastei Hashem. Right? The Mizmor doesn't say you must call out in praise, in thanks to Hashem for these things, although we might say, well, perhaps we should, right? But at the very least, right, the Mizmor is saying someone who is wise, right, will take notice of these things and recognize these kindnesses of Hashem as well. This Mizmor Kuf Zayin, right, as you might already know, is the Mizmor which was chosen to be the opening of the Tefillah of Leil Yom Ha'atzmaut. Now, if you read through the Mizmor carefully, even more carefully than we have done now, the themes that jump out from this Mizmor are enough to make obvious the reason for the choice of this Mizmor. And I fully recommend that you take a moment to read through the Mizmor to appreciate the appropriateness of the description of a God who ingathers us from all directions, who saves his wandering and starving people, right, and gives us a place to live. Right? The themes that repeat throughout the Mizmor are so appropriate for Yom HaTzmaut. But more to the point, I think, right, the bigger reason why this Mizmor was chosen, I think, is that this Mizmor reminds us to say thanks. Even those of us who continually appreciate and support Israel can begin to take for granted what we have. And even worse, we can get caught up in the bad habit of putting down what, quite frankly, is not yet a perfect country. You know, yes, flowers bloom in the desert, but more often than not, there's a drought. Yes, we have an army, but we also have terrorists and bombs going off. Yes, there's an excellent healthcare system, but oy, 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 the bureaucracy, it could drive you crazy, not to mention the politics and the corruption. Right, the list can go on, right? All too often you hear people, both people who visit the country and both people who live in the country, rolling their eyes and saying, well, what do you want? Right? It's Israel. This Mizmor reminds us to be thankful for the big miracle, right? That 63 years ago, Jewish sovereignty was renewed. Right, that Hashem hispia nefesh shokeka v'nefesh re'eva milei tov. Right, that's something that we simply should not be allowed to forget. But it also reminds us to appreciate the day-to-day little miracles of state building, right, which really do happen here all the time. Right, the little miracles of vayoshev sham re'evim v'yichonenu ir moshav. Right? Yom HaAtzmaut reminds us to take a moment to step back and say, wow, what an incredible thing we have. Shabbat Shalom, Chag HaAtzmaut Sameach.